Welcome to the Doghouse. So here's the question of the day. Is Mark Marquez's injury more serious than they led everybody to believe?
I thought you were going to go with the Artemis rocket.
No. I completely thought you were going rocket. No.
The real question is, though, how many laps will the next Moto2 race have?
Yeah. I mean,
how many people will finish the next Moto2 race?
Will people finish the
next? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Augusto Fernandez from now on will be known as Skittles Fernandez.
I haven't seen that many wrecks. Well, speaking of Skittles, I can't think of the name of that guy who used to drive that car, but he wrecked all the time. Ricky Rudd.
That's the first time I've seen a Moto2 race that reminded me of duck pin bowling. Okay.
Terrible.
It was.
Is there a minimum number of laps to define who is the champion? Because if stuff like this keeps going on, are they going to make the minimum number of laps to have a true champion?
I wonder. I guess if they declare it a race, it doesn't really matter, right? As long as it's a qualified race.
You had Austin was 10 laps, Thailand was seven, and what was the other one? Was ended up with half points.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked they didn't go half points on this one.
It's a little surprising because it was less than half what they planned on racing.
Well, they could have got away with it because they certainly had half the number of riders, so half points would have worked.
I mean, it's not bad if you win the guy that wrecked, because then you'd only be like, well, I'm not that far down. But yeah.
And the other thing too is it's just like another lesson of why you do not want to be mid pack on lap one, because it's the most dangerous place to be,
or the warm up lap, or
any time, but you don't want to be
signing lap.
You don't want to be in that crowd of people, because any one of them can make a mistake and it's a disaster. Yeah. I mean, both Holgado is a whole different issue, but I mean, Alonso, I thought that was it. I thought that was a zippy for old Ken in that race. And the red flag came out and, you know, turned out to be, good pick.
Definitely a good reason to have a good crew.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're not kidding.
Right. Yeah. Right? The fact that Joe Roberts got back out there, that was crazy.
Just patch that thing together and let's go.
Yeah.
Get the bike back, get it working.
Well, you know, you figured that would happen the first time Joe Roberts actually looked like he was feeling well enough to race, right? And he actually looked maybe not 100%, but definitely a lot better than he's looked in recent weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what happens, right? So.
Kapow.
Yeah, kapow. Exactly.
But in the grand scheme of things, right? He's not all that far back, because a lot of people
They're spreading the points around, right?
Right.
Lawrence Cottlem said this is how you do it.
Yeah. No matter who you are, you're not in that bad a shape.
No, nobody's taking control for sure.
Yeah, this is the 2026 Moto2 Survivor Series.
Yeah. It's definitely an attrition race right now.
Yeah. Moto2 looks demonstrably different. Let's talk Supercross first.
Okay.
In the 250 East, there's definitely somebody taking control there.
Yeah. There's definitely a reason to have, not to be mid pack.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Definitely a reason not to be. There's always a reason.
Form of racing.
That's right. Not any form of racing. You don't want to be mid pack. But Cole Davies, like out of nowhere, looks like he's a world beater in the East.
Yeah, he didn't look that bad last year. You know what I mean? Like, he looked like an up-and-comer.
We didn't talk about him. So, I mean, he didn't have that many podiums, so if he had any. I don't know. We didn't really talk about him.
He definitely improved in the offseason. But he also is running – he's also racing in the East, which after the East-West showdown, I don't think has the same level of talent as the West this year.
I don't think so either, but it will be interesting to see as strong as Davies has looked. It'll be interesting to see him race Deegan.
Yeah, you know,
he did. We'll see. He lost.
Well, he did, and he lost. Yeah, but I mean, it'll be interesting as the season goes on, right? There's two more East-West showdowns, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's anybody that can beat Deegan other than Deegan.
Yeah, right? But he's on the edge of beating himself at any time, right? So that's your chance, no, right?
But falling down doesn't. It's the mental mistakes, like
yes, okay, yes, yeah,
it's
yeah.
And the penalty. Cutting the corner, so to speak. What I don't know, hitting those poles last.
Putting a shiv in the guy that's near you and things like that.
Yeah, you're not. You know, other than that, he's not. Even when he crashes or he gets tied up, he just works through the field.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I think it's one of the you got to beat the man things, right?
Yeah. Yes. Like, so you might as well, the moment the race starts, put the Jaws music on because he's going for the lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'll get there. And he doesn't even, you know, he's doing what we see a lot of guys who move up and are successful in 450s is even when he's behind early, he's not in panic mode. He races through the field, but he's just quicker. He's not pushing it.
He's you know,
not in a panic mode, like, oh my God, I got to catch him. He knows I'm going to catch him.
That's going to be an interesting conversation when he's racing in the 450s. It'll be an interesting conversation because he's going to come up against a much stronger field, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to come up against a lot more experienced riders. And there's only a couple really experienced riders in the 250s, you know, more than a couple years. It'll be interesting to see how he adapts to that. And I also think his bad boy games play better in the 250s than they will in the 450s.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Let's talk about Prado in the 450s when we get there.
Yeah.
I just think he's demonstrably faster. If he can be as fast as he is there, I'm not sure people trying to slow him down will work.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't predict that because there's been so many people that have been really strong in the 250s that were complete poops in the 450s. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I expect that of him? No, I don't expect that of him. But will he be as, you know, will he be as overwhelmingly strong?
Will he go straight to a podium? Probably not.
I don't know. I think so. We'll see. I mean, that's part of what makes it interesting to watch, right?
Yeah, I think
because there's a lot of you know, you can say that there's probably 8 or 9 really strong riders in the 450s that they're
always going to be talented. Difficult to get around.
And they ain't going to give you the openings that you get in the 250s.
There's only 3 that are consistent.
I don't even know if there's 3, you know, be honest with you.
Jet when he's there, Tomac when he's there,
Tomac's there in spirit. I mean, he was in the race.
Yeah, you know.
I think Webb is one of those people that's always hard to get around of.
Yes,
Webb's
he is.
Always hard, you know, Webb's like a cockroach. He is just floating around and
Webb was a little bit of a bad boy in the 250s, if you remember him at that time. So
he's a 3-time champ.
And he's a 3-time champ, exactly. Yeah.
And based on this race, he still is the bad boy.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. What do you want to talk about Prado?
Well, yeah, we'll talk 450s now.
Yeah, so. Webb wiped him out and probably cost himself the championships, I think, because he went down with Prado and he took Prado out on purpose because he and Prado have been having issues all season. A lot of people are having issues with Prado with the way he rides, but he has had problems with Webb. Webb took him out, took himself out, and I think that cost him any chance at the championship.
Well, he is European, and we know they cheat.
Yeah, I mean, number one, he's European, so he deserved it. Number two, Lee Diffie likes him, so he definitely deserves getting kicked out.
He definitely deserves getting
taken out. Number two is, even with that, Webb is only 26 points back, and the way Tomac stocking out. This is a Webb season.
We're already
it could be
we're more than halfway done.
Be. It could be.
They're more than halfway done, and Webb is in an area where if things continue to go that way, the best thing that could happen for Cooper Webb is Jet comes back. Jet Lawrence comes back, Cooper Webb's the champ.
Well, I think there's no way Jet Lawrence is coming back. No.
I understand that, right? Yeah. I understand that. But I'm just saying the way these guys are beating each other up and throwing away races, I'm not going to count Cooper Webb out until
I think the top four, and I think this is a good thing for the sport, is going to stay relatively close. You're not going to have I don't think anybody's going to get far enough out, you know, now that we're past the midway point in the season, that I think it's going to be a lockout. And, you know, I don't think so right now. From week to week, you know, Tomac has not looked good for a while, right? But yet he gathered a bunch of points, right? You know, before that. So,
yeah. Roczen.
I mean, and Hunter's had Hunter's
falls.
Yeah, exactly. And Hunter's been quietly collecting points. Probably you would have to say, if you had to pick one rider, you know, right now, who's going to be battling for that you'd have to say Hunter would be one of them. But, you know, other than that, you're right. Even Webb's got a shot at it. I mean, 26 points is
I'm not counting them out. If you're over halfway.
Yeah. But if he keeps collecting good points, right, he'll be within, you know, a race. You know, he'll be less than a race. And I don't know. Maybe this is all going to change. Now that we said this, maybe someone's going to now just start winning.
Well,
right?
Yeah, what happens if Sexton cranks out a couple wins?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Justin Cooper is on the verge. So there's enough guys, and I think right now there's enough guys that can play spoilers. And even though he's way back in points, Malcolm Stewart has been solidly collecting podiums and top fives, which is enough to screw up other people. Hunter lost a big lead, a nice lead because of going down. Tomac's one fall from not having a big lead.
Yeah.
Right. And Cooper Webb is just fourth, fifth, third, fourth, fifth.
I think they're going to do this all the way through the rest of the season. I don't think anybody's going to take control, so that means somebody will take control.
Yeah, that's probably
true. So let's get out of Supercross. World Superbike, which basically is pretty much over.
I mean, Bulaga Superbike.
Yeah, pretty much over. I think he's almost mathematically won the championship.
Yeah, because they only race like four rounds.
Exactly. Yeah, so he's pretty much.
Is it too early to crown him champion?
The only thing that would work against him is the curse.
Yeah,
That's right. Other than that, I mean, he's almost doubled up second.
Nobody's dished out the curse yet.
I know.
It is tempting because it's not a true challenge that he's got in front of him right now, unless we serve one up. Right.
Yeah, I heard right. That. Yeah. I mean, he's two races out. They're 2 weekends in. Sorry, 2 weekends in.
He's won everything.
He's already like an entire race weekend ahead.
Yeah, he's just like he's just. This was remember that was Rhett Scadiaglio's prediction. He's going to win everything, right?
Yeah.
He's just going to because he knew his only competition out there was Bulaga, and he goes, well, now that I'm not there, I guess he's the heir apparent, right? And that's the way it looks.
It's not wrong.
No, it's definitely not wrong. So another sweep, so nothing really to talk about in World Superbike, not even any interesting news.
And then
we were joking before early in this, Moto2 is, I don't know what the hell's going on in Moto2. But there's nobody in Moto2 that seems like they really want to ride consistently at all.
No. You could have just dropped it before consistently. There's nobody that seems like they want to ride. They're just all going off their bikes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe before the race, they told a bunch of the riders that they were on Hondas. And so they all went down. Right?
I don't know. Like, here's what I'm saying is they are what, three rounds into the season now, right? And the guy leading is only averaging 13 points a round.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It is. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
It's just
yeah.
Bad.
I agree. I don't know. I don't know. But again, they're doing the Supercross thing there. They're waiting to see who wants to win.
Yeah,
because it doesn't seem like anybody really wants to win in Moto 2.
No.
At this point, I would have thought this would have come down to, Holgado and Gonzalez. We'd already see that pattern developing, and yeah, Gonzalez has been better. I would say he's done a little bit better than everybody. This wasn't a great weekend for him, but it could have been worse.
Yeah.
But it was a horrible weekend for Holgado. I mean, horrible. Absolutely. Didn't collect a single point.
I picked him, so of course.
Yeah, you did it. You cursed him.
All right, he can't have two bad weekends in a row.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, he apparently could.
Yeah, apparently he could. And let's talk about MotoGP, because I think there's more to talk about in MotoGP.
Well,
because it's there's been a lot of chatter online about go ahead, Phil, no, go if you ahead. Wanted to say go something. Right. No, there's no, been a lot of chatter online chat. About how Bezzecchi with no downforce on the rear tire the rest of the race was able to actually set a record lap, okay, which he did after he lost his rear arrow. And consistently put those kind of lap times in, which he should have lost corner speed almost immediately. Wouldn't have affected him on the straightaways. In fact, he might even have picked up a little bit of speed because you didn't have that as much downforce, but you don't need it as much then, but you need it going into the corners. He didn't drop any corner speed. And people were saying, this is very suspicious. And it is, because it's not, theoretically, it shouldn't be possible what he did in the race yesterday. And he didn't seem to have any effect, at least not a negative effect, of losing his arrow. He lost everything. He had one upright that was doing nothing, but he had lost complete all the horizontal stabilizers gone. Just really weird. And Jorge Martin,
we give too much credit to all that stuff. Is it not that
the riders seem to think it is. The riders seem to think it is, but it gives them more stability in the turns.
People think Skittles is medicine when you tell them it is.
Oh, I agree.
And M&M's work.
I agree, but the placebo effect only goes so far, and the lap times do tend to prove that the advances in aero have added significantly to that. And remember, next year all that aero goes away.
Yeah, hold on.
So that'll be interesting.
Hold on a second, though.
Yeah.
I mean, realistic, every year lap times go up. It is very rare.
Why?
Why? Because it just does.
I mean,
it has,
but there are some things that contribute to it.
Yep. And I would say,
and the riders seem to think that the reason that those lap times go up is that the corner speed's gone up, and they attribute that to the aero. And that's why these companies spend so much money on aero design.
Okay. But here's what I'm going to say is mm-hmm. All right. Have you noticed, right? And I'm going to go back to Supercross for a second. Have you noticed they've completely changed the way they do corners in Supercross now? How the riders hit it? Have you noticed that when they go in, there's a berm, mm-hmm. right? It digs a rut, and now they're laying the bike onto the rut and using the rut to hold them up and grabbing a handful of throttle so that they're not downshifting and they're not upshifting. That means you more than any of this other advantage.
Until the rut gets so deep that it grabs the wheel. And that's what happens.
Until it grabs a foot peg.
Or grabs a wheel.
They're riding
and you can't ride up the side.
They're riding the wheel on it on purpose.
I agree. Totally. But when the ruts get really, really deep, you can't control. You can't ride up the side of that curve if your tires grab before you get in.
Have they changed the way they cornered? And you say, well, it's aerodynamic.
It could be. It could be rider.
Maybe
it could be rider, because, when Marc Marquez came out, remember, all the big deal was that he had more lean angle than anybody else.
And the
and I think that did.
And that was the rider. That was the rider then.
That was was definitely and the rider.
Have, and now I think more guys have can go over as far as Marquez. Right?
Oh, definitely. No question.
I think bikes are faster, mm-hmm. and if guys can lean over further and take that corner different without scrubbing off the speed, that's always going to increase your time. Arrow now, maybe Arrow helps you, maybe it doesn't. But
we'll find out next year. Next year, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to be able to compare it with MotoGP, the current MotoGP, because those bikes are a lot smaller.
They're a lot smaller. But if you believe that it gives you more corner speed and the riders are going to ride beyond the corner speed and the aero does make a difference, we're going to see a lot more wrecks. That's what you're going to say.
Maybe. Right?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
It might be helping them from now. I think, man. When I look at it, I don't know if I think the aero is helping them gain speed as much as I think it's helping them stay up.
It could be. It could be any of those things. It could be any of those things. But I just don't
view that as like traction control.
I look at it this way. We're looking at it from the outside, and we look at it and we say, well, we don't know. We don't know. But you know, they have tons and tons of data. That they monitor every change that they make the aero. There's things that they monitor.
Yeah, so I mean, use a wind tunnel.
That's right. That's why they use a wind tunnel. I don't know that they would spend the kind of money that they spend on designing that. And I don't know that if it wasn't that important, that MotoGP would have put a halt to it.
Well,
I think MotoGP put a halt to it because they felt like the teams that had the money that could design that aero gave them a distinct advantage. That's what they believe.
I don't think that it's not important.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying I think that helps you finish the race more than I hope it thinks you finish faster.
Well, that's a pretty big assistance, right? Because you don't do really well when you don't finish.
Right, but you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I'm
not, no, I
like
I get
you're saying Bezzecchi had no aero and set a lap record
on the back.
That's
he had
correct.
Aero on the front,
on the back,
but he didn't
right? On the back. Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
it might have been just
theoretically
enough.
That's not possible unless that's right. Just designed.
I agree
on the bike and not gain you speed.
Yeah. No, right. I mean, it could be any of those things.
There are two ways to design things.
It could have been any of those things, Phil, but it was a drastic change in the aero on the bike, and I think that's what a lot of this commentary is coming up was, okay, he didn't seem to be less stable, right? He didn't seem to be making mistakes that would have allowed Jorge Martin to catch him and pass him, right? I'm not saying, look, I love a good theory, right? It's conspiracy theory. You got to love them, right? I was chuckling at some of the comments that people were making, but that was one of the things that a lot of people attributed to the improvements that Aprilia made starting in like the
middle
18th
of last
race.
Year.
Yeah, well, like the 18th race of last season to now is the bike demonstrably got better, right? And they attributed that because they got new aero. Is that the case? I don't know. Maybe it made the bike more stable. And a stable bike is a faster bike, right? We would all agree, right? So I don't know. I don't know. But, the only Mark Marquez can take out of that race was he finished in front of Bagnaia, who looked like he could have won the race. And it went away. He burned up his tires. And that's how Mark Marquez was able to get past him and at least get fifth, right? So
yeah, squeeze some points out.
Yeah, well, it's a decent points. Fifth place is decent points, but
yeah,
he doesn't look quite right. He doesn't look quite right, and I think that injury is more serious than they said. He had no off season. He didn't participate in any of the off season testing.
And on top of that, I think there's something. Ducati has slipped backwards. They've slipped backwards. I don't.
Maybe they've stayed the same. And Aprilia.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I've said in the last couple of shows that they didn't put much. I don't believe they put much money into this year's bike focusing on 27.
And that's probably true. I mean, I think Ducati got to a point where they were so good they're so good that they weren't making any significant engineering on the bikes, right? The little tweaks here and there and things like that, which rarely have a major impact. But Aprilia, they're going, if they're going balls to the wall and they've made big improvements, they've passed Ducati from what you could see. I mean,
yes,
the number of people they're putting in the top five riders is that's getting
half their field.
It's yeah, exactly. And it's been, it's almost a lot. It's getting quick to be, you know, close to being a lockout, right? Up there, none of the Ducatis are doing very well.
And only Marquez. Is doing well.
DG Antonio, when he's not knocked off the track, has looked pretty good, right?
But you got to be on the track to be,
but not good enough. There. But not good enough. He can't catch the Aprilias. Alex was
great last year and the year before.
Yes, exactly.
He's looking terrible.
Right? Yeah, he probably would prefer to be on last year's bike, but I mean, on the prior bike, but I don't know that that would matter because I think right now it looks like Aprilias hit on it, you know. Remember when Ducati made the switch from eighth place, and it was pretty dramatic when they did. When they figured things out,
Once suddenly, they went around the corner, they were like, whoop,
"Yeah, exactly." It was always good in a straight line, but it couldn't corner worth a crap. And when they solved that problem, they just started to dominate. And maybe that's what we're seeing in Aprilia right now.
Yeah, Aprilia picked up top end speed, and they picked up corner speed.
Yeah, no question. But they've done it in the last
year of the current bikes. So we'll see how well that carries over.
It probably doesn't. I don't think anything carries over. You have to wait and see because new motor, no aero, pretty much all the concessions are gone. All your concessions go away. Yep. Aprilia is riding on three concessions still.
Yeah.
So
they are.
That goes away. Ducati hasn't had any concessions in years, and Honda, you could give them 50 concessions, it wouldn't be enough. You know,
Yamaha, but the only way they win a race if you declared nobody else was allowed to ride in it.
Yeah, they don't even give Yamaha concessions. They don't give Yamaha concessions anymore because no one cares.
I know. I'm not sure if they can win a race if it was just all Yamaha.
I don't know that Raskadiaglu can finish a race.
Yeah.
It's pitiful.
Any of the Yamahas.
World Superbike.
When the Yamahas finished a race, it's kind of a bit of a news.
I could imagine the negotiations with Toprak coming over here. Look, the bike is really horrible, but stick around for 2027. That new bike, look
it's
at
gonna be, and it's going to be closer to what you rode in Super Sport.
He's going to be like, it was more like, don't you want to ride the MotoGP? And he's like, I want to race the MotoGP. They're like, you idiot.
You idiot.
Well, speaking of wanting to ride in the MotoGP, this came out like 20 minutes before the show on crash.net. I'm going to give them credit because they like to break things early. Sometimes they're not right, but they're saying that David Alonso is going to Honda next year and that Hidalgo is going to Ducati.
Where in Ducati is the question.
They don't say.
Right.
It could be any of them.
And then I did I think you were out, Warren, when I did this. I did a story that came up from Ducati, that actually came out of Ducati, that listed who the riders were that they wanted to have. They didn't mention within the not factory team, I'm talking Ducati in general. They didn't mention Holgado, but they did specifically mention David Alonso.
Well,
so it'd be weird that
they're reporting that Honda went there
because these are the riders that they wanted to get in their stables.
Yes.
So why would they let him go to Honda? And why would he go to Honda? Is he like a private pilot? Is he private pilot? He likes to fly.
Who knows?
Maybe he doesn't want to win anymore.
Yeah.
It's like that winning, being up front. Like winning's extra work. They don't get paid for, right? They got to do the.
Well, he hasn't won one yet. When he wins last year,
and he's like, you got to stick around longer. You got to do the podium. You got to talk to people.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a real shake of a riders next year. I mean, we know Bagnaia's.
I got a question for you quick before we run out of time. Are they making any changes to Moto 2 next year? Because if they don't, they're basically riding very similar bikes.
Well, I asked that a couple months ago.
I'm wondering if anything's come up.
Right, I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen nothing. it would make sense, but maybe not.
Well, because you're talking about Moto 2 being like 800 cc bikes, and well, they're 768 Triumphs, but they're 800 cc.
Yeah,
they're listed as 800 cc
in Moto GP. Why don't you just run everybody together?
Well, that's what I was wondering, right? What's the difference going to be? They're going to have to find some way to make it different, and they can't do it at the last minute.
Tires?
I don't know. Tires? Well, you know, they're on Pirellis already, so they have the advantage. That's a lot of the Moto 2 riders have an advantage next year because they're used to the Pirellis. They're
used to the Pirellis.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right. We'll be back next week.